Bird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog writer, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. Hope you're having a good Friday, those of you who recognize that. But it is a Friday. That means the Packers tailgate tour is still going on this week. That's what's happening this week in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Not a whole lot else because it's the offseason. Although that comes to an end pretty quickly, the Packers begin their offseason program this upcoming Tuesday. One interesting thing that I just realized, Jamari Lattimore, Packers linebacker Jamari Lattimore, although he was offered a restricted free agent tender, the low-round tender by the Green Bay Packers, he is still technically a free agent. He has never signed, or at least it's never been reported that he signed and has never come across the league's transaction wire that he signed. And the team's offseason program is about to start next week, next Tuesday, April 22nd. I think that's going to catch a few people by surprise. Here's a guy who could be taking part in the team's offseason program, and the way things are headed, not to say that things can't change between now and Tuesday, that he could be a free agent, much like Sam Shields was a year ago. You remember last year, Sam Shields was in the same boat. He was a restricted free agent. The Packers offered him a tender. He didn't end up signing the tender until minicamp. He didn't end up signing it until, boy, was it June that he signed it last year? So we could be seeing a reoccurrence of recent events here with Jamari Lattimore. Now, however, there is time for things to change between now and Tuesday as well. Quarterback Matt Flynn has not signed with the Green Bay Packers either. Again, at least, you know, the report is he's agreed to terms with the Packers, but there's been no reports of him signing. There's been no reports, no official statement by the Packers or the league's transaction wire that he signed. And it could certainly just be a case of, okay, I'll sign it when I get into town on Tuesday. I know Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com threw that out on Twitter yesterday. And that could certainly be the case. You know, it just, you know, why, you know, waste your time with faxes and whatever, you know, or having to make an unnecessary trip to sign the proper documents. I can just wait and we'll get it done then. So we're kind of waiting on both those things with Matt Flynn and Jamari Lattimore. Because, players are supposed to come to town as of Tuesday and take part in the team's offseason program. Start slowly with just kind of strength and conditioning the first few weeks. They don't get together and do 7-on-7s or, you know, they're blocking and tackling or anything like that. It's just kind of just getting back into the groove of things at the beginning. But the team reconvenes, you know, they come under one roof. It's kind of the beginning of a long, long process. And, you know, it's piecemeal at first. You understand how they can take things slowly because, I mean, once training camp starts, then it's a grind. you understand that you come together in late July and you're staying together till January at the very least, hopefully until February if you're in the Super Bowl. But you understand why they take things slowly. But again, still waiting here on Matt Flynn and Jamari Lattimore, two guys who have not signed contracts with the Packers yet. But maybe that'll change in the upcoming days. I think, you know, what we're going to spend some time today discussing and something that's taken place earlier this week, I think the report came out on Wednesday. An interview with Clay Matthews, published in USA Today. The person who conducted the interview is former Packers beat writer Tom Pelissero, who now writes for USA Today, but a very good interview, a wide-ranging one in which they talked about a lot of different topics. And really, it's the first we're hearing from Clay Matthews since, well, probably since last season. I don't know if I've seen him do any interviews since that time. Since the signing of Julius Peppers, and of course getting his reaction to that. But I want to start off here, though, with the thumb injury, which Clay Matthews shared several previously unpublished details that had not been widely known to the public. I suppose if you know Clay Matthews and you're a teammate or whatever, you work for the Packers organization, maybe you knew some of these things, but they've, you know, haven't gone out of their way to share them. And I mean, it's not like you expect them to, but anyway, you know, Clay Matthews twice broke his thumb last season. First, earlier in the season, he was out for a few weeks. You know, he came back with the club cast on, and eventually the cast got a little bit smaller, but still ended up breaking the thumb again. And just had a few very interesting things to say about his recovery and how the injury occurred and things like that. It's new to you, new to most people, just because they didn't, you know, really know the inside information, the details of what happened. And if I could just read here a few brief excerpts from Clay Matthews' interview here and then react to them. But I do think it's interesting here to note some of these things. So Clay Matthews, quote, "It's all going well. I had surgery December 24, and maybe I got the pins out late January. Almost immediately, I pushed myself to get back to the gym. Obviously, I had to be smart, but it started with rigorous physical therapy 3 times a week. Just because of the way in which I injured it wasn't like a typical break. We had to treat it more like a soft tissue injury, like an ACL or something, because it required manipulating the tendon and drilling holes in bones and this and that. I asked my team doctor, 'When's the last time you've seen this injury in the NFL? Couldn't name one. That's why when you deal with people saying, Brett Favre played with a broken thumb, my thumb was out here. There's no way he could even grip a ball. I have a good picture I can show anyone of my hand after surgery. It honestly looks like I got a shark attack.'" So, I mean, the end quote, by the way. Obviously, some very powerful words there. "Looks like I got a shark attack." I mean, it just instantly conjures up images in your mind of what his thumb may have looked like post-surgery. And it's, you know, obviously not a very appealing one if you're a Green Bay Packers fan and are rooting for the team and rooting for Clay Matthews to do well, that you kind of realize, wow, maybe this injury was quite a bit worse than you thought. And we are talking about the second injury here after the thumb got broken a second time. So it's definitely different in that, you know, it's more severe than perhaps I think people anticipated this injury with Clay Matthews. Didn't really, you know, you just hear a broken bone and you think, oh, well, you know, players get broken bones and it, you know, it's happened in his thumb. And, you know, he's not a guy, a skill position player like a quarterback or running back or wide receiver who's handling the ball all the time. So maybe you kind of think that, you know, maybe it's not a big deal and, hey, it's the off season. He's got, you know, what, how many, 6 months to recover in time for the season starts. So, you know, that's plenty of time for a guy like Clay Matthews to get back and healthy and whatever. And this kind of gives you pause a little bit and thinking, wow, you know, this is worse than I thought. John says on the live blog commenting, "I just hope that it doesn't become a lingering injury." Yeah, certainly. I mean, that though, again, I mean, I can't blame anyone for having those thoughts that go through your mind, especially after breaking it twice and now hearing how bad it was and the, you know, the rehab that's going into just a simple broken thumb, or what you would think to be simple, at least. I can't blame people for them having that kind of reaction. That being said, I mean, there is obviously time here. I mean, if there was ever a good time to be recovering from this, I suppose it is the 6 months during the off season when there's plenty of time for him to come back and get ready in time for, you know, the start of the regular season, which is more important than anything. Clay Matthews talking about his injury and playing through the injury, and I thought it was also interesting him talk about coming back from the broken thumb the first time because he really didn't play all that well with that club cast on his hand. And here's Clay Matthews' reaction to that. Quote, "I clubbed it up, and I was just a number out there because we didn't have enough people to suit up against Philly. By far my worst professional game, but there was a legitimate excuse. After that, I got into a thumb spica cast and played the Giants. I had a sack. Obviously, it was still very difficult because it was always like this. I was playing with one hand for 7 games, but I still had 4.5 sacks in 7 games with one hand. I was like, if I can get out of this cast, I'd be all right." End quote. I mean, if you remember, you know, he had the broken thumb and he was out a few weeks. And you know, the first time he broke his thumb certainly, you know, wasn't that bad because of the time frame he came back on. Yeah, he was out a few weeks there. But I remember he had surgery. He had a pin inserted and it healed and whatever. But yeah, I mean, he comes back and plays with that cast, and you can remember that game back against the Eagles just did not make an impact at all. And you understand, I mean, that there was no, you know, later on they kind of, you know, had his fingers exposed at least, but that first game back, the entire hand was clubbed, and you know, it was just, he couldn't grip, he couldn't rip, you know, he couldn't do anything, and you know, just, you know, had a negligible impact on the game and really didn't play all that well. I mean, you understand his impact when he was injured was somewhat limited. And you also understand here that, you know, Clay Matthews, here's a guy who, it's not just the thumb injury, it's the hamstring injuries he seemingly deals with on a yearly basis as well. That have limited him to an extent. I mean, the first few years of his career, he fought through injury, or maybe they sidelined him during practice. You remember he had the stress fracture for a while. I think it was during the Super Bowl season. He fought through those things to miss very little time. He might, in his first 3 years in the NFL, I think Clay Matthews might have missed one game due to injury. So, I mean, he really was, you know, the good soldier and fought through things and played on Sundays and things like that. But then it was, you know, not this past season, but the year prior, 2012, he goes and misses, what, you know, 4 games due to the hamstring injury. So that really limited his impact. And then this past season, you know, he did end up missing a little time with hamstring. And then he has the broken thumb, and that's obviously, you know, had him out for the majority of the season. So there's been several injuries here to Clay Matthews. And to his credit, like I said, early in his career, he fought through them. These past few years, they've become more serious. They've forced him to miss more time. And you just don't want to see it continue along that route. And hopefully it's just a rash of bad luck. And Clay Matthews, in this interview at USA Today, goes on to talk about the bad luck the Packers have had. Injuries last year to Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Eddie Lacy. You name it. I mean, and it, the list didn't end there. So many players got injured and were impacted one way or another. You know, Dayton Jones had the ankle injury that affected him. Nick Perry having that broken heel bone. Just, you know, all these things. Casey Hayward out for majority of the year with the hamstring injury. All these things. And, you know, add them up and you understand why the Packers, you know, struggled the way they did. And of course, I mean, when you have Aaron Rodgers, the leader of your team, missing seven full games, I mean, it's tough. It's tough to come back from those type of things. But, you know, look into the future here. And I think this is also revealing about what Clay Matthews had to say about the addition of Julius Peppers. His first time reacting to that, the first time he's spoken to the media since the signing of Julius Peppers and how it'll affect him. Because I think, you know, people realize this once they sign Julius Peppers, you know, you can't double team everyone. Teams out there can probably, you know, choose to double team one person. You know, are they going to double team Julius or Clay? Or, you know, it really doesn't matter. It's going to open somebody up. Whether it's Mike Daniels or Dayton Jones or, you know, whoever, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, you name it, somebody's going to get a one-on-one and somebody's going to end up getting to the quarterback. And Clay Matthews thinks, you know, it's going to be him who's going to benefit from the double teams. He says, quote, "This guy's 6'7", 290 pounds. I'm 6'4 on a good day and 255. You know, he sees, I'll continue here, Clay Matthews quote, "They're going to double the big guy, and that leaves plenty of opportunities for me. I haven't had many one-on-one opportunities, and when you do, you're expected to win, at least in our locker room, the majority of the time, because that's supposed to be a mismatch," end quote. Yeah, I mean, the question now is, I mean, how do the Packers and utilize, how does Dom Capers and his defensive schemes and schematics utilize both Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers on the field at the same time? I think they will be on opposite ends of the field more often than not. Clay Matthews rushing from the left side, Julius Peppers from the right side. Perhaps that's kind of, you know, where they've played, or, you know, that's where Julius Peppers at least has played a lot during his career, that, you know, right defensive end position, not to say exclusively. And then you hear about the Packers saying, well, you know, Nick Perry, he has a lot of success on the right side, so we're going to kind of keep him over there. It, you know, everything's, I think, is kind of setting up for this move to, for Clay Matthews back to the left side of the defense, you know, where he had success earlier in his career, particularly the Super Bowl season when he had such a good year there. Lined up a lot on the left side there, right next to Ryan Pickett a lot of times. And maybe we're going back to that now this year. But I've heard people, you know, look forward to the possibility also of Clay Matthews lining up right next to Julius Peppers as well. Same side of the defense, kind of, you know, confusing opposing offenses, forcing them to, you know, a double one guy and let the other have a one-on-one or something like that. And there will be, you know, extreme pressure, two really good players coming from the same side of the defense. And I can see that as well, and I certainly wouldn't rule that out. I just think more often than not, you're going to see each player rushing from one side of the defense or the other, or, you know, Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers on opposite sides. And if you read here at Cheesehead TV, I wrote the column, you know, a month or so back, that, you know, Clay Matthews, you could see him at inside linebacker perhaps more often. With the depth the Packers have on their front line now, with Peppers, Daniels, Dayton Jones, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, and the list doesn't end there. But, I mean, with all those guys being the types of people that you see in the trenches and are lining up on the line of scrimmage, wouldn't it make sense once in a while to let Clay Matthews blitz up the middle
Or just, you know, line up there, and perhaps if he's in coverage from time to time. It just, you know, it's a way, I think, to get some of your best players on the field at the same time, because I don't think Brad Jones is one of the best players on the team. And it's a way to, you know, line Clay Matthews up at his position and you know, really get, you know, good athletic guys on the field where you don't know where the pressure is going to come from. And again, maybe this plays into the whole, you know, return of the psycho package thing, where you got all these guys bouncing around. You don't know what gap they're going to blitz up, and you know, who's going to drop into coverage, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of, you know, really exciting things that could happen with this Packers defense. There's a lot of different directions they could go. And I hope that's the way it plays out. I hope they're unpredictable. I hope they line Clay Matthews up at inside linebacker one play, and he's back at his usual spot the next time. And all sorts of things. I hope they're flipping sides, and I hope they're running stunts. And you hope all these things. But again, you know, in order to be unpredictable, in order to have that element of surprise, you've got to stay healthy. And that's something the Packers haven't done. Going back to Clay Matthews and his thumb injury and his hamstring injury, you know, when he's off the field, you know, they don't have a chance. Mike McCarthy talked about this offseason, how he wanted to use Mike Neal in an elephant end type of role last year. He wanted to do that, but when so many other players on the defense are injured, it really limited their options. You know, Clay Matthews has the injury. Nick Perry has the injury. Well, now Mike Neal has to fill in for them. I mean, Mike Neal, I think, took the most snaps of any outside linebacker on the team last year. You know, he had to fill in and just kind of play a kind of a normal role that the Packers have gotten used to running down in and down out, rather than, you know, show something exotic once in a while, like playing this, you know, elephant end type of position where, you know, the Packers may be running some sort of hybrid scheme. They just, you know, weren't healthy enough to do those kind of things last year. So hopefully the Packers stay healthy. Clay Matthews gets back to 100%. He puts the thumb issue behind him. It'll be interesting to see how much Clay Matthews takes part in the team's off-season program. I don't think, and also as part of this injury here, Clay Matthews knows he's not going to be 100% involved. In fact, to share one last quote from the story of you, Clay Matthews says, quote, "It's getting better, so I have no doubt. Obviously, OTAs will probably be one thing. I can't imagine I'll be too heavily involved with some of the stuff. I'm sure I can do stuff here and there. But yeah, we risked it once, and unfortunately, it didn't play off, didn't pay off," end quote. We're just less than a week away from the start of the off-season program. Don't be surprised when you hear Clay Matthews isn't practicing much, or you know, maybe he's practicing, but not, you know, he's being held out of a lot of things when they go end up eventually, you know, doing team drills and things like that. Don't be surprised when you hear Clay Matthews is not, you know, full go. But, you know, when training camp rolls around, quote, Clay said, quote, "I'll be ready," you know. So, that's the end goal, I think, just to have him ready by the time training camp opens. That's when things start getting for real. Clay Matthews, certainly, you would love to him to be healthy and taking part in the offseason program and OTAs, minicamp, all that. But, I mean, he's enough of a veteran by now where, is it great to get him involved if he's healthy? Yeah, sure. But if he can't, well, oh well. It's more, his health is more important than doing some practicing. And it's not like he won't be practicing at all. He'll be there. He knows the schemes that are going to be implemented. He'll be attending meetings and things like that. He just won't be taking part in all the offseason practices. But if he's out there in training camp come July, come August, you know, that's all that you can ask. I mean, as long as he is there during the offseason, as long as he's not the type that is, hey, I'm going to work away from team facilities, I don't like to see that from players unless there's some sort of legitimate excuse. I know they're voluntary. Personally, I kind of disagree with this whole voluntary workout thing. I think these guys get paid enough money where they can be expected to be around team facilities for more than just 1 week of mini camp. I mean, what kind of message is that sending that you only have to be there for 1 week mandatory in the off season? I mean, that isn't saying your job isn't being valued very much when it says you only have to mandatorily be there for 1 week. I'm kind of against that. But regardless, getting off the point here, hopefully Clay Matthews is healthy by the time the start of the season starts. That's kind of the central theme for today. But it, really interesting interview. By all the means, we provided the link here at Cheesehead TV. If you haven't read the entire interview, Clay Matthews talks about a bunch of things in USA Today in terms of his reaction to Kevin Green stepping down from the coaching position, about Clay Matthews potentially becoming the franchise leader in sacks, all sorts of topics he talks about, injuries to other players, things like that, getting back into the season, goals, expectations, things like that. All those things, really interesting to hear his perspective. I thought the interview, Tom Pelissero did a very good job asking the appropriate questions, and Clay Matthews really opening up and being very truthful as well. Go read it if you haven't already. It's a Friday. The tailgate tour continues today. Yesterday, last night, the Packers made a stop in Superior, Wisconsin. Today, the tour stop is in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, western part of the state, Barron County Fairgrounds. If you've been part of the tour or going to go see it today, or I think they wrap things up Saturday with the stop in Merrill, enjoy it. I know it's cool when they come to town. These are little places, a lot of them, that they don't, you know, come very often. They really try to make all sorts of different stops on the tour every year, different types of places locally you just don't get to see all the time. So enjoy it if you're going to go out, see, you know, Mason Crosby, Brad Jones, Jared Bush, and then the old guard, and really cool this year that the Hall of Famer, James Lofton, taking part, Lynn Dickey, Paul Kaufman, great players. I think a really great opportunity to see these guys if you're going out. And from all I know, tickets are still available if you're still interested in going, or at least that's what they say on the Packers website. So have a good Friday, everyone. We'll see you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy Easter to those of you who celebrate. We'll be back next week on Monday. We'll be talking more Packers. We'll be getting ready for the NFL draft, all those kind of things. But we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called All My Life by DJ Harry on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.